मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। I salute Krishna, the embodiment of supreme bliss, through whose grace the lame scale mountain and the dumb become eloquent. May Krishna be the guide of our life. Om Shantihi, 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 peace, peace, peace. Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 9, The Sovereign Wisdom and Mystery. Gita means song. It is not an ordinary song. The song which is sung by God is called Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, the Gita, the song which was sung by God Himself. Through singing, He removed grief from Arjuna's mind. We are now discussing chapter 9. The first chapter is called Chapter on Grief, Vishada Yoga. In the second chapter, Krishna tried to remove that grief through talking to him about the ultimate reality, Sankhya Yoga. Then he thought, well, I have told Arjuna about the ultimate reality, but how will he realize it? So he talked about Karma Yoga, that is chapter 3. Well, Karma Yoga, if you want to practice, you must know about yourself, about knowledge. So in the fourth chapter, he discussed Raja Yoga. Then he thought, well, it is not easy to practice, Jnana Yoga, that is the fourth chapter. Then he thought, well, it would not be possible to practice Jnana Yoga without non-attachment. So in the fifth chapter, he talked about non-attachment. Well, if you really want to penetrate into the inner realm of God, you must meditate. So in the sixth chapter, he talked about meditation. Then in the seventh chapter, he talked how to realize the self. In the eighth chapter, he talked about the imperishable Brahman. In the ninth chapter, he unveiled the mystery, the divine mystery of God. So we are now discussing the sovereign wisdom and mystery, Raja Gujjo Yoga, Raja Yoga. Verse 20. Trividya mam somapa puto papa yagirishtva sargatim prarthayante ते पुण्यमासाद्य सुरेन्द्रलोकम् आश्नन्ति दिव्यान् दिविदेव भोगान् ते तं भुक्त्वा स्वर्गलोकम् विशालम् क्षीणे पुण्ये मर्त्यलोकम् विशन्ति एवं त्रिधर्मम् अनुपपन्ना गतागतम् कामकामम् लभन्ते। दोज हू नो द थ्री वेदस एंड ड्रिंक द सोमा जूस and are purified from sin, worship me with sacrifices and pray for passage to heaven. They reach the holy world of Indra and enjoy in heaven the celestial pleasures of the gods. Having enjoyed the vast heavenly world, they come back to the world of mortals when their merit is exhausted. Thus abiding by the injunctions of the three Vedas and desiring desires, they are subject to death and rebirth. When you read these two verses of the Bhagavad Gita, your desire for heaven will not come. What shall I do with heaven? So a real Vedantin does not care for heaven. Heaven is not a good place to go. Now first I shall give you the the ritual background of the ritualistic school of the Hindus. The Vedas has two parts, working portion of the Vedas and the knowledge portion of the Vedas. In the working portion, there are rituals. In the knowledge portion, only meditation and discrimination. And those who are ritualists, they follow the working portion of the Vedas. And through that worship and ritual, they purify their mind. Then they become the students of the knowledge portion of the Vedas. Each Veda has four parts. First, mantra. Second, samhita. Next, aranyaka. Next, Upanishad. In the beginning, they have mantras. Also, sometimes they bring another portion, they call it aranyaka. Brahmana portion. I am going to tell you one by one. First, mantra. The seers of truth visualizes those mantras. Swami, what do you mean by visualizes the mantra? Through meditations, they saw those mantras are written in golden letters. You may call it a revelation. Swamiji saw it. I saw my mantra written in golden letters. It was dazzling. I saw the mantra. Mantra Niyato Padakshara, it has 4 feet. Each part is equal. Syllables, equal syllables. For example, Gayatri Mantra, 24 syllables. I adore the Supreme One, who is beyond darkness, who is self-effulgent like the luminous sun. I meditate on it. Let that effulgent one illumine my heart and guide me to the path of blessedness. It is a mantra. Every Brahmin boy will have to repeat this mantra in the morning and evening. Next portion is called Samhita. Song, singings, glorifying God. Oh Lord, please come, accept our oblations. In this way they pray. Brahmana portion is full of rituals. How to perform a particular ritual is mentioned in the Brahmana portion of the Vedas. Next portion is Aranyaka, where you will find a lot of prayers and meditation. And the last portion is called Upanishad. Pure knowledge. That is the essence of the Vedas. So Krishna says, Trayvidya mam somapa puto papa. People follow the rituals according to the 3 Vedas. Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda. There is another Veda, Atharva Veda. But here Krishna mentioned 3 Vedas, where you will find a lot of rituals. So, mam puto papa somapa, they perform rituals and drink the juice of soma, creeper. As the Catholics go and take the prasad from the mass, that wine and bread, and they feel that they are pure. The same conception we find among the Hindus, taking that prasad, the juice, soma juice, they think, Soma Pama Pama Amritama Bhuma. I have drank the Soma juice. I am immortal. I am immortal. I am immortal. Immortal means relative immortality. Means he will go to heaven because he got the prasad from God. Puto Papa, they are purified by sin. You see, if you practice a lot of rituals, if you think of God, automatically your mind will be pure. But they perform this ritual with a motive. They are not nishkam devotee. They have motive. I want to go to heaven. I want celestial enjoyment. This is their motive. Or I want to be the king. I want to be the god, king among the gods. If you perform 100 sacrifices, you will be Indra. So another name of Indra is called Shatakratu. Jagyahi istva. Jagya means sacrifice. What will you sacrifice? Selfishness. The more you will sacrifice your selfishness, the more great you will be. All great teachers of the world are unselfish people. Christ, Buddha, Krishna, Ramakrishna, they are completely unselfish. They never did it anything for themselves. Swamiji said, Buddha never took a single breath for himself. His everything was for the good of humanity. Bahujana sukhaya, bahujana hitaya. Jagyam istva swargatim prarthayanti. They ask heaven. I want to go to heaven. Ti punyam asadya surindram o loki ashnanti divyan divideva bhogan. They go to the god of abode of Indra and enjoy celestial enjoyments and come back. You see, the way the Christians believe in heaven, the Hindus do not believe heaven in that way. According to the dualistic school of Vedanta, there are various kinds of liberation. Samipa Mukti. O Lord, I shall just be near you. A devotee is praying to the Lord, I shall be just near you. You are my beloved. Shalakya Mukti. O Lord, I shall be where you are, in the same abode. Shalakya Shamipa. Shajijya Mukti. Lord, I shall be one with you. Sarshti. O Lord, whatever power you have, I want all those powers. In this way, they have various conceptions. Sarshti. Shalukya, Shamipa, Shajijya. Anyhow, there are five or six kinds of dualistic liberation. Vedantic liberation is not like that. Vedantic liberation is, I am free. I am unaware of it, but I am free. I do not know. Just remove your ignorance, you will feel your real nature. Vedantic liberation is not a created thing. Please, always remember this. The difference between the liberation of other schools of philosophy or other religions and Vedanta is, difference is that Vedantic liberation is not created. It is an uncreated thing. Do you know why? The thing which is created is subject to destruction. There is no exception to this rule. The thing who you have created, that thing will be destroyed in course of time. You got heaven, how? By practicing virtues. The virtuous actions will be exhausted in course of time. So again, when this action will be exhausted, again you will have to come back to the previous place. That is, for that reason, the Hindus do not want to go to heaven. The Christians, their conception is different. You see, they think that the moment they will go to heaven, they will never come back. They will enjoy eternal youth, plenty of enjoyment, plenty of good food, and they will play the harp, and they will sing. Swamiji said, why will you wait for heaven? Why don't you buy a harp right now and you start in your living room? You see, that is the conception of heaven. Swamiji said, it is not good. What are you looking for? You are seeking for more enjoyment. Enjoyment, there is no end. As you pour butter oil into the fire, that fire cannot be extinguished. The flame will come more and more. Enjoyment cannot be satiated by enjoyment. Well, you are tired of physical enjoyment, and there in heaven also, there you are imagining the same kind of enjoyment there. I shall get eternal youth, and no disease, plenty of food, plenty of wine, plenty of, you know, another worldly pleasures. Poor conception of heaven. Of course, everybody thinks heaven in his own way. A young boy thinks heaven is full of young girls. A young girl also thinks heaven is full of young boys. Old people think heaven in a different way. The children think that heaven is full of candies and dolls and toys. The Norwegian people think heaven means there will be a boar and there will be fight. And, you know, one will kill the boar and they will roast it and they will eat it again next day. That boar will get back life. You know, this is the way they think of heaven. The Arabian people think of heaven that beautiful, a lot of beautiful girls and a lot of water, you know, and flower garden, enjoy. Swamiji said, my country is devastated by flood every year. Our conception of heaven is a dry land. There should not be any water. You see, Arab is a desert. So they want water. And heaven must be full of water so that they can drink. And your Bangladesh, you know, every year, terrible flood. So many people are killed by flood. So their conception of heaven is dry land. Conception of heaven differs from person to person. The Hindus also, they have in the Mahabharata, in the Purana, you will find they have some celestial names, Rambha, Tilottama, Udposhi. Once the Hindus, you know, manufacture stories also. Once the gods are defeated by the demons and they occupied earth, heaven, every place. So they went to Brahma, the creator, that, sir, we are in trouble, please do something for us. Brahma said, what is the matter? Well, a Shumbha Nishumbha, no, it's not Shumbha Nishumbha. Two other demons, I forgot their names. These two brothers, you see, banished all gods from heaven and now we are in deep trouble, please do something for us. Is that so? And those two demons got a boon that no human beings can kill them, no gods can kill them. They are indestructible. Oh, is that so? All right. You see, when the gods give boon, they keep some loopholes. You see, they will never be killed by gods or they will never be killed by human beings. So practically nobody can kill them. But they can kill themselves. That boon they did not get. Anyhow, so what Brahma did, he said, well, let me make a girl. Taking the beauty, if just like your Miss Universe conception, I shall take a sesame seed quantity of beauty from the space, air, mountain, tree, flowers, fruits, from all universe, you know, Brahma's creation. He took one particle of sesame seed beauty from each object and made a beautiful girl and gave her name Tilottama. Til means sesame seed. So that beautiful girl was made. And then Brahma asked her, now you go and see those two brothers, two demons who captured heaven and earth. So she went there, seeing her paragon of beauty. These two brothers jumped and said, who will get this girl? Elder brother said, I must get her. The younger brother said, no, I must get her. So they had fight and both were killed. So, you know, they have also some conception of heaven and their celestial maidens, they come, they sometimes disturb holy people's meditation so that they may not attain liberation. They are great obstacles. So Krishna says, Ashnanti Divyan Dividivo Bhogan, they enjoy those celestial enjoyments. Not physical. You see, the way we think, our conception of pleasure, enjoyment is different. Physical enjoyment, if you get some good food, your tongue will get some joy, no doubt. But the moment food goes in the stomach, you don't know how does it taste. It is very momentary. But mental enjoyment lasts longer. That is subtle. Suppose you got the post of the presidentship of the United States of America. That joy, Even you cannot get sleep at night time. So much joy. A big headache too. He will have to, you know, your criticism, he will have to face everything of this country. That is subtle joy, lasts longer. Then celestial joy lasts more. For example, you have the vision of Christ or Krishna. While you were meditating, you saw his luminous form. That joy will stay with you all through your life. I got the vision of my beloved. So you see, that is spiritual joy. It is very lasting. If physical joy, gross joy, worldly joy stays short time, subtle joy lasts a little longer. Spiritual joy is everlasting. Human beings conquered this world through children. He conquers the world of the manis, ancestors, through action. He conquers heaven, the abode of gods, through upasana, prayer and meditation. Titam bhuktva svargalokam vishalam. These people, the ritualists, those who meditate or practice spiritual discipline for a motive. I want to go to heaven. They go to heaven. Then, kshine punye martalokam vishanti. That word we used to repeat again and again. Kshine punye. Punye. Punyam is virtue. Kshine, when it exhausts. When virtue exhausts, conceives. Martalokam vishanti. That person again come back to this world. From here he went, and again he comes back here. Same thing. A president of the United States is in the White House only for 4 years. Of course, if he is re-elected, perhaps another 4 years. Again, he will have to be a common citizen of this country. Try to imagine this picture. The president of the United States, the greatest position in this country. His longevity in the White House is only for 4 years. Maximum 8 years, then he will have to come back among the common folk. Same thing heaven. You just go and come back. This is a very beautiful example. Martalokam Vishanti, he again enters into the wombs of the mother and are born like children, human beings. And human life, you know, wilderness of this, of life. So many pain, suffering, a little joy is also there. Otherwise, people could not survive in this world. If there is no joy in this world, people would die. Kohi vainat ka vain pranat yadishwa akashwanandanasyat. Who could inhale, who could exhale if there is no blissful self behind? If there is no bliss, no joy, it is difficult to live in this world. Evam tri dharmam anupapanna gatagatam kamakamam labhante. E tri dharma anupapanna, the followers of these three Vedas, means ritualists. Gatagatam kamakamam, they come and go, they recycle. Recycling, birth and death, death and birth, rebirth, this recycling is going on. This person wrote a beautiful commentary, I shall read it. According to the traditional interpretation, people who take to the spiritual path to gain worldly ends for the sake of their own private happiness go after death to a heavenly realm, where the satisfactions they have been searching for will be multiplied many times. Eventually, however, these pleasures will be exhausted. The grand time will come to an end, and they will return to good old terra firma to learn to make wiser choices the next time around. There is another, more practical way these verses can be interpreted to apply to daily living. When you practice meditation for the sake of some private personal goal, without training the senses and putting other people first, it can be a tremendously dangerous combination. The deeper resources in your consciousness are beginning to flow into your hands, giving you the capacity to fulfill some of your deepest desires, But you have no control over that these desires are. What control over what these desires are? You may be able to amass an immense amount of money, acquire great prestige, even live a very long life. But there will be no more direction to your life than before. It is all quite possible. In fact, I have known some people whose lives illustrate these verses perfectly. Instead of going to Orthodox Hindu heaven of the gods to have a grand time, they go to Acapulco or the south of France to live their life in just the way they like. It is not necessarily an aesthetic. After all, these are people with highly refined desires and all the means with which to satisfy them. They have their meditation every morning by the Mediterranean, go for a brisk swim in some secluded cove, and then have a good nourishing breakfast in the finest restaurant around. Then for entertainment, they don't sit and watch The Godfather. They fly to London for a new opening of King Lear, or spend a week or two in Salzburg for a Mozart festival. And wherever they go, people get interested in them. Photographers like to take their pictures for the weeklies. Journalists gather to ask them all kinds of questions because the answers are always interesting, and they derive great pleasure from all of this. It is the fulfillment of their dreams. But then, the next verse says, look at where all this leads. Kshini punni martalokam vishanti. After a while, all these things begin to tire you. Kshini means worn out, exhausted. The Sanskrit word for tuberculosis comes from the same root. All this adulation becomes a nuisance. The questions and the questioners become a bore. You get tired of the Mediterranean and try to Caribbean for a season. But it is the same old crystal blue water, the same questions from the press, the same kind of company as you have left behind. What has happened is that you have become tired of pleasure, but you don't understand that. You think you have become tired of nice and candies. So you start growing a beard, wearing dark glasses, registering hotels under a false name, and instead of luxurious restaurants, you begin to frequent little out-of-the-way places where the furniture is deliberately mismatched and the food is served in handmade bowls. Everything that used to please you now begins to irritate you. The radical becomes a reactionary, and the reactionary becomes radical. The profligate becomes more puritanical than a Puritan. Such people have simply grown tired of living for themselves, and all this time has been misspent as far as the spiritual life is concerned. As this verse reminds us, they will have to return to the land of mortals, the everyday world, and try again to live in harmony with others and contribute to the welfare and happiness of those around them. He wrote a beautiful commentary. Sri Ramakrishna also cautioned, don't seek God, worldly things, never. You will be in deep trouble. Seek God, love, devotion, knowledge, non-attachment. Those are also our external things. Seek God that I want you. Christ also said, first seek the kingdom of heaven and everything shall be added unto you. Other things will come. You will not have to seek. First, I want you, Master. Lord, I want you in my life. Sri Ramakrishna cautioned, you remember a traveler was passing through the desert and he was tired. He sat under a wish-fulfilling tree and he was thinking, well, if I could get food and drink right now, I shall be happy. Food and drink came. Oh, I'm tired. If a young girl comes and gives massage to my feet, I shall be happy. A young girl came and gave him massage. Then he was thinking, oof, I'm so happy. But if a tiger comes now, what will happen? Even at that time, a tiger came and finished him up. So you see, if you have desires, you will be in deep trouble. Don't seek. Sri Ramakrishna said, you see, don't seek anything from a rich person. If you seek, then you will be, the rich person will not treat you well. He may be your friend. The moment you enter his living room, he's coming. Then if you enter the living room, sit down. Hearing his voice, he will understand that person is disgusted with you. When he goes outside, he never will take you in his own carriage. You come my other's carriage, though he is your bosom friend. Because that rich man knows this person seeks something from me. He has come for money or for some kind of privilege. Same thing, Sri Ramakrishna cautioned his devotees. Don't seek. Be self, have self-mastery. First, master yourself. Control of your desires. All wealth, all power of nature will come to your feet. You will not have to seek. Look, Christ did not seek in his name what is going on. How much wealth has come in the name of Christ? Sri Ramakrishna could not touch money. Look, in his name, how many people are offering money, helping his mission. Still we doubt. When Sri Ramakrishna said to him, the recorder of the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, you love me and you come here to see me. You do not expect anything from me. My mind also dwells on you. This Sanjay, you do not come, I think of you. I think whether you are well or not. My mind goes to you. Could you imagine an incarnation of God is thinking of his devotee? If you think of Christ, Christ will think of you. Don't seek pumpkin and cucumber from God, from the king. Oh, you go to visit the king. I said, what do you want? I want a pumpkin and cucumber. Foolishness. With money, jewel, car, home, beauty, all these are like pumpkin and cucumber and bell pepper. Don't ask these petty things from God. Give me love, give me devotion. That is the most precious thing in human life. When you read the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, in every page you will find Sri Ramakrishna taught his devotees how to love God, how to create hunger for God. Next verse. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana purjupasate tisham nitta abhiyuktanang yogakshemam vahamyam. It is one of the most important verses of the Bhagavad Gita. Those persons who worship me, meditating on their identity with me and ever devoted to me, to them I carry what they lack and for them I preserve what they already have. It is a promise. Just promissory note. God is promising to his devotee that I carry. Those who think of me, I carry their bare necessities, their food, clothing, shelter, whatever they need. Ananya shintayantu. This devotee or a jnani has no other thought other than me, Krishna says. He's all the time, his mind is on me. Mam yojana worships me in that way. Tisham nitta abhijuktanam, nitto abhijukta, meaning his mind is always connected with me. Baham yaham, I carry. Aham bahami, I carry. He does not say, aham dadami, I give. Aham bahami, I carry. What does he carry? Yogakshemam. The thing which you don't have, He will give it to you. And the thing which you have, He will protect you. What you have noble virtues, qualities, He will protect that. He will protect your meditation. He will protect your liberation so that you may get, you may attain ultimate reality in this life. So that you may deviate from the path of yoga. He will protect that. And yoga, your food, your clothing, for the maintenance of the body, whatever thing is necessary, He will supply. I promise. I carry. In this connection, I shall tell you a beautiful story of Arjun Mishra, a mystic. He was a teacher. He was a married man, but very devoted to God and a great scholar. As the story goes, there are many students in his home, and one day his wife said to him, "There is no grocery, no food in house." So he remembered this Bhagavad Gita. This verse immediately came to his mind. Ananyaschintayanto mam ye jana parjupashate tesham nittavi yuktanam yogakshemam bhavyam. When his wife said that, he said, "What? There is no food in home?" No. He took his red pen and opened the Bhagavad Gita and penned through those words, yogakshemam bhavyam. He cut it. He gave three scratches like that and left home for begging. When he left home, within a short time, one boy brought a big basket of groceries, rice, lentil, flour, butter, milk, fruits, vegetables, a big basket of food, groceries, he brought to the wife of this teacher. And he said to that old lady, "Look, master beat me with a cane, so my back, there are three cuts. I was a little late to bring this food to you, so my master beat me. Then the wife was very upset. She said, "Well, when my husband comes back, I shall scold him. Don't worry. Then why don't you stay here for lunch?" "Oh no, I can't. Because master sent me all these things, you see, to you, and I'll have to go." So he left. In the evening, this man tried to get some food. He begged door to door, nowhere he get any food. So he came back in the evening exhausted. With gloomy face, he came back. So his wife said, "My goodness, why are you so late? You sent so much food and you did not come in the early. What is the matter with you?" Then the story told the whole story to her husband, and the husband burst into tears and said, "Oh, my wife, you do not know, it was the Lord who brought food to us. I did not send anybody to you. I did not beat anybody. It was Krishna who brought food to his home." This is a very popular traditional story in India, connecting this incident, connecting this verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Yoga kshemam bhavyam, I carry. So again, he brought back his Gita and wrote three times, yoga kshemam bhavyam, yoga kshemam bhavyam, yoga kshemam bhavyam. I carry, I carry, I carry for my devotee. Sri Ramakrishna said, when God comes in the heart, a lot of people come to that person to serve him, to give him more money. Sri Ramakrishna said, "Look, I had a little yearning, longing for God. Mathur, the richest man in Calcutta, served me 14 years. many rich people came to serve me because I carried Lord in my heart. A real monk does not ask money from anybody. It comes to him. And what will he do with that money? Whatever he gets, he spends for the devotees. Some rich devotees often give money and it goes to the poor devotees. That's it. Those who cannot afford, it goes to them. Real sadhu, real holy man, only wants God and none else. He is busy to satisfy God. He is not busy to satisfy rich people. He will never do that. In Boston, a rich woman said to Swami Turiyananda that you will have to obey me. You will have to follow what I say. Turiyananda, otherwise I shall stop. I shall not help you or work. Madam, you threw me on the sidewalk. God will help me. I cannot compromise the truth. The thing which you asked me to preach, I cannot preach that. I'll have to preach God and God alone. I shall have to tell you what is good for you. It may not be very palatable for you, but I shall have to tell you the truth. There is a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Mayiva mano adhatsa, mayi buddhim nivishaya, nivasishyasi mayiva, ata urdham na samshaya. You fix your mind on me. You think of me, you have conviction in your mind, in your intellect. Then you will dwell in me. Do not doubt about it. Krishna says that. Don't doubt about it. The more you think about God, all divine qualities will penetrate inside you. You will be a different person. After 10 years, 12 years, you see yourself, you will find that person is dead, a new person has come. Sometimes I remember some devotees used to complain when I was in California. Oh, Swami, I don't know, I'm not getting anything, I feel dry, oof, very dry period. Then sometimes I stop them and just say, how many years you are in Vedanta? Oh, Swami, 18 years, 12 years, 15 years, 20 years. Then I ask, do you remember when you first came, what type of person you were and what type of person you are now? Do you find any change in your life? The devotee will pause a little and will acknowledge, it is true, Swami. My horizon of knowledge has been expanded. I learned quite a bit all these years. I am not the same person. Just come and listen. It will transform your whole being. Some people would say, Swami, I have terrible temper. Now, my goodness, I cannot fight. I cannot quarrel. My character has been changed. You see, they are seeking more, more. Nobody is happy with this present situation. Because we want more. Ananyaschintayanto. That is a very beautiful word. Sri Ramakrishna gave two illustrations from the Ramayana. When Rama and Lakshmana are passing through Dandakaranya forest, they saw a crow near Pampa Lake. That crow was calling. That crow was very thirsty, but he did not drink any water. Rama said, Lakshmana, do you know this crow is a great devotee? He is not drinking any water, but he is thirsty. He is about to die. You go and ask the crow about it. So Lakshmana asked the crow that, why are you not drinking water? I can't. I don't like to misuse that time of drinking water and forget my beloved Lord. I am all the time calling him. If I go to drink water, I shall miss a little time of calling God, which I don't like to do it. Then he saw they put their arrow and bow near the shore of Lake Pampa. And when he lifted his bow arrow, found blood. What blood? Then they dug it and found a crow, frog was there. Then Rama asked the frog, why did you not make any noise when I, punched the arrow inside the ground, that, marshy land? Then the frog said, when people are in trouble, they call Rama to save me, to save us. But when I see that Rama himself is killing me, from whom shall I seek shelter? God himself is killing me. Whom shall I ask to help me? There is none. So I kept quiet. Rama said, this frog is a great devotee of the Lord. Meditating on their identity with me, they totally lose their individuality in the Lord and look upon him as their own self. Or the word ananya in the text may mean without any other thought. In that case, the translation should be those persons who worship me never harboring any other thought. I carry because the Lord considers the jnani to be his very self and most dear to him. The Lord promises complete protection to those who love him with all their body, heart and soul. A devotee totally absorbed in the Lord may forget his own safety and security, but the Lord never forgets him. All men, no doubt, receive from the Lord what they need, but as long as they themselves think of their own welfare, they must earn it by their own effort. But the Lord himself carries the necessaries of life to those who, lost in the thought of him, cannot take care of themselves. It is true. If you don't take care of themselves, if you continually think of the Lord, and if you are absorbed, if you are engaged in doing good to humanity, Lord will send some people to take care of you. In India, when the Swamis become sick or anything like that, all big doctors rush to that person to help. And I remember I was sick. I came from Bhubaneswar. I was sick. The chief medical officer of a big hospital came to treat me. Just house call 3 days. I think 2-3 days he came every morning just to serve me. He's the chief medical officer in a big hospital. Well, within 3 days I shall cure you. And he, same doctor, he treated me in 1977 when I went to Nepal, came back. I was in rain for 8-9 hours. And I had terrible bronchitis. I could not breathe properly. I said that I shall go to other places for pilgrimage, but I am suffering. Don't worry, within 3 days I shall cure you. And he did. Very famous doctor. Free. No charge. Only we used to force him to get a cup of coffee. Sometimes we will not have to buy medication. They will send their samples. How that monk serves thousands of people. Can I not serve that monk? That is their attitude. You see, the Lord takes care of his children. It is amazing. All right, you can ask me questions. Sri Ramakrishna told a beautiful parable. One day, a devotee was passing through a place, which is very near to the lake, and where the washerman washes their clothes. And after washing the clothes, they spread it on the grass to dry. And then they take back in the evening, and then they iron it, and then they deliver those clothes to different people. You see, they don't have any washer and dryer like you. Anyhow. So a devotee, while walking, he walked over those washed clothes. And this washerman attacked him. You know, he was chanting the name of the Lord and forgot the place surrounding. So he walked over these clothes. And this fish washerman, when they chased this man, monk, and in the meantime, Krishna was in heaven. His wife Lakshmi was serving him lunch. And he left the dining table, Krishna, and ran away. His wife said, "Where are you going?" "Well, I can't talk right now. I am busy." So he disappeared. Then within 5 minutes, he returned. "To where did you go and why have you come back so early?" "Well, one of my devotees was in deep trouble. Some washerman attacked him. He was chanting my name. And what happened? And so they was about to hit him. So my devotee also took a piece of brick and attacked the washerman also. So when I noticed that he exerted himself, you know, so I withdrew myself and came back. And if that devotee would surrender on me completely, I would go and help him. But I noticed he took care of himself. He took the brick and attacked the washerman too. So Sri Ramakrishna used to tell these parables to his devotees just to convince them. It is not easy to surrender wholeheartedly. Surrender to the Lord. He will take care of you. Do you have any other questions? Om asato ma sadgamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrittor ma amritam gamaya avir avirma yadhi rudra jatte dakshinam mukham tenamam pahi nityam om shanti shanti shantihi. Lead us from the unreal to the real. Lead us from darkness to light. Lead us from death to immortality, light us through and through, and guide us evermore with thy loving presence. Peace, peace, peace be unto all.